Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Greene from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Welcome to Unhappy Hour, the show where we bitch about all the things we love to hate every single week. I'm your host, Matt Bellassai. I'm here in the studio, as always, with my producer, Barry Finkel. Hi, Barry.
Hello, Matt. I went to England. Can you tell?
No, I cannot tell based on that accent.
Really? I think it sounded so European, so English.
All right. Yeah, sure. Of course. Yeah. Well, Welcome back.
Thank you.
Welcome back to the drama of the United States.
What is dramatic?
The leading drama, obviously, that you missed out on is Unhappy Hour.
What happened?
Well, 2 weeks ago, we had a story about camels in which I apparently said that camels spit.
Right.
I had someone write to me on Instagram and say that they were a camel expert and that camels do not spit. And I said that last week.
Right.
And now this week, someone else wrote me and was like, hey, actually, camels do spit. So who the fuck am I supposed to believe?
You know what the only way to fix this is, right?
I need to get a camel.
We need to get a camel.
On my dick. I may or may not have looked up camel rides in New York City.
You definitely did look it up because you sent me the link.
And they exist.
They do.
We'll see in the future on Happy Hour listeners if I happen to get my juicy thighs between some of those humps and then get spit on. Get ready for Matt gets bukkakied by a camel. Anyway, enough of that nonsense. Let's get into today's episode. We're going to kick things off, as always, with Worst Things First, where I shout about the worst news of the week. After that, we are carving off the tops and diving deep into the bottoms. And that is pumpkins. 'Tis the season, bitch! And finally, we have Emmy Blotnick in the studio. She's a comedian. She wrote for Late Night with Stephen Colbert. She's got her own half-hour special on Comedy Central. And she's got a live show called Joke Machine coming to the New York Comedy Festival. We talk about all of that and more. And by and more, I mean we also talk about boats and Halloween. So why don't you stick around for all of that? So let's get into it. Let's do it. Let's scoop out our insides and roast them in the oven and start the show. All right. Worst things first. Let's talk about the worst news of the week. First, a teen in Germany, he broke into a Berlin prison in an attempt to win back his incarcerated ex-girlfriend.
Oh.
Way to go, teen. Well, she broke up with him over the phone, I guess.
Because she was in jail?
And then also she's in jail for unspecified reasons. So he was like, nah, I'm going to win her back, Rapunzel style. He's 18 years old. He goes to this prison, climbs a 13-foot wall to get to her window. Officials intercepted him, but he refused to climb back down, and they had to call the fire department to come bring him down with a ladder. He was also mostly naked because he had to take off most of his clothes to avoid getting caught on the barbed wire. Modern day Romeo and Juliet.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. I want Romeo and Schnitzelhausen.
What? Romeo stays the same, but Juliet, she's Schnitzelhausen now.
Yeah, that's, and she is in jail. And that is they are star-crossed lovers kept apart by the German authorities, who are famously
gentle.
Not great. immoral, let's say. I do love how this story says it wasn't clear whether the escapade succeeded in winning back the heart of the young woman, also 18, who had broken up with him by phone. He's now being investigated for trespassing and unauthorized contact with a prisoner. Yeah, I don't know how prison visiting works in Germany. I would think that, you know, there probably are phones.
Oh, well, clearly. So she broke up with him.
Yeah, maybe he was too traumatized to speak with her on the phone.
He can never use a phone again.
Poor Romeo. Fucking Schnitzelhausen. How dare she? Next! A man in Iowa woke up to find 5 inches of blood flooding his family's basement.
What?
Been there. Am I right, ladies? Ugh, I hate when that happens. You wake up day one of your period. Ugh, am I right?
So relatable.
Apparently, a bunch of waste was coming from a neighboring meat locker where blood, fat, and tissue from slaughtered animals was washed down the drain. And officials said a clog or break in the pipe sent all of the waste or a bunch of waste into this man's basement through a floor drain. So he woke up 5 inches.
Happy Halloween.
That's like 3 inches less than your husband thinks his dicks are, ladies.
Wow.
Do you know how many nouns and verbs didn't match in that sentence?
Oh, my God. That's like what? Calf high?
No.
5 inches?
How much do you think a calf is? I guess if you're like a child.
I don't.
A baby, maybe.
What's a ruler? A ruler is a foot. Okay, so 5 inches. Okay, so it's like your shoe.
They say 5 inches is probably roughly the length of like an iPhone.
Oh, God. But like upright.
Jesus Christ.
I just want to let everyone know I'm extremely jet lagged.
An inch? 5 inches is probably...
Is it like your ankle?
It's half a foot.
It's your ankle.
No.
It's up to your ankle.
Yeah, I would say 5 inches is probably just above your ankle.
It's disgusting.
Yeah, but the point is there's a lot of fucking blood on the ground. It's blood, fat, and animal tissue, all right? And you're waking up literally like The Shining, and you're standing in just a puddle, a pool. I don't even like stepping in like a wet puddle.
Ew, no.
As opposed to a dry puddle.
Yeah, much more preferred.
Yeah, ugh. Imagine wearing a nice thick sock and stepping in at 5 inches of animal blood.
Ugh.
So the homeowner, I guess, said that they have been unable to clean up the mess because the waste continues to leak in. The company is working on fixing it and pumping all of the waste into a large tank. Meanwhile, the family has temporarily moved in with relatives. Anyway, the world is disgusting.
I bet they're all vegetarians now.
Yeah, I would absolutely would be.
Yeah.
Just thinking about it makes me want to be.
Meh.
Okay. Next! This one got sent in a whole bunch, I should say. A man in Florida, only in Florida, was arrested for allegedly sexually assaulting an Olaf stuffed doll from Frozen in a Target store on Tuesday. The 20-year-old man is accused of placing the popular snowman on the floor and dry humping it until he ejaculated. Oh, no.
First of all, I haven't seen Frozen yet, but now I want to.
I respect the fact that he's like, Elsa, no.
No.
I'm going to fuck the snowman.
Nice and cool.
I mean, okay, since when is it illegal to dry hump a stuffed animal in the middle of a Target?
I think like once it becomes a wet hump.
I guess. So if he had just humped it and not ejaculated, it would have been fine?
I don't think so, but maybe.
I don't know. Why don't we ask a lawyer from Florida?
Is this a new segment?
A lawyer from Florida.
Are we calling a lawyer from Florida?
Just kidding. They don't have lawyers in Florida. Apparently, the man then found a stuffed unicorn in the store that he allegedly dry humped before the cops arrived. I respect the stamina.
And the taste.
You jizz once and then immediately you're like, oh, unicorn. Let's round two right away.
I mean, you see that horn.
Yeah.
You can't not be horny.
I'm definitely sensing a theme here in terms of like phallic stimulation. Olaf has a carrot nose.
Mm.
Unicorns have a horn.
This is your detective specialty.
I get it. Yeah. I'm just identifying the motivations of sexual deviance.
Spoiler alert, they're mostly phallic.
Yeah. Where's my fucking SVU show? The man admitted his dirty deed to cops, saying he did, quote, stupid stuff and, quote, nutted on Olaf.
Oh,
I hate the word nutted.
Yeah, it's not good.
Ugh. The boy's father told the cops that his son has a history of this type of behavior. The cops charged him with criminal mischief and said the stuffed animals had to be destroyed. That's so sad. That is Olaf's destiny.
I'm just thinking about like corduroy bear. Do you remember? What did it have a name?
The one that you could draw on?
No. It was a story of like a bear who just sat there waiting to be picked up. And then like finally a little boy sees the corduroy bear and picks him up and takes him home. But like this Olaf was just sitting there waiting and waiting.
Yeah.
And then they finally think it's going to happen. And then it happens. Just all over him.
This is Toy Story 5, really.
No.
Sid definitely nutted on
his... probably Sid.
Yeah. I just think that there are probably sexier toys to fuck.
As such, tell me.
I mean, like a puppet even.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
You got a hole right there.
Yeah. The OG fleshlight, except it's not really flesh.
No.
I mean, yeah. If Kermit can give it to Miss Piggy... You can give it to Olaf.
That's your closing argument in this court of law.
I am the Florida lawyer.
Ooh, plot twist.
And finally, a poacher who hunted sloth bears and ate their penises.
I'm sorry.
Has been arrested in India after years on the run.
Oh my God.
I just love that it was like, we have to catch the bear penis eater. For years, he has eluded authorities.
How many penises has he eaten?
Oh, he's only 30 years old. That makes me so sad. It's like, I'll be 30 next year. Shocking, I know. I do have the air of a much older gentleman. And I haven't eaten any sloth bear penises.
Not one.
This man has accomplished so much. Zero arrest warrants against me as of this recording. It is Halloween weekend, so we'll see.
We'll see.
The 30-year-old man was first arrested in 2013 after police found two sloth bear carcasses missing gallbladders and genitalia. Ew. Oh,
what?
I just hate that he was like, why waste the rest of this bear? I'm going right for the juicy nuts. Just the delicious juicy nuts. Oh, so the tribe that this man is a part of believe that the sloth bear penis is an aphrodisiac. Well, obviously.
Okay.
So it is tribal. He was freed in 2014 on bail and has been running from police ever since. He also apparently... What? This is insane. The man apparently, during an interrogation, admitted to police that he killed several tigers, wild boars, peacocks, and, of course, sloth bears.
Damn.
I've killed zero animals. Well, yeah. I think I might have hit a bird with a car once, but...
You animal. You absolute monster.
Shackle me up. I'm ready. I'm ready for jail. All right. Anyway, that's it for this week's Worst Things First. Next! Fuck your gourds! Get up out of here with your squashes! We are diving deep into pumpkins. Deep dive, deep dive, deep dive, deep dive, deep dive. Deep dive,
deep dive,
deep dive,
deep dive,
deep dive. All right, it's fucking pumpkin season, bitch! And I'm not talking about pumpkin spice, all right? I'm talking about the OG plant, the fruit. We're talking the leaf, okay? We're not talking about your vape oils. We're not talking about your powders, your spices. We're talking the flower, bitch.
I don't think you know what a pumpkin is.
We're talking about the orange monster herself, okay? Oh, every time it's fall, the second it's October 1st, pumpkin walks in and is like 100%. Oh, I just took a DNA test. Nobody even knows what you are. Are you a vegetable? Are you a fruit? Decide! I don't believe in the gender binary, but I do believe in the fruit vegetable binary.
Yeah, it's a strict one.
Pick a lane, you fucking pumpkin ass bitch. Also, it's like, hello, there are other vegetables here. Just because it's October doesn't mean that pumpkins suddenly become the star of the show. Just because you're first on the call sheet, okay, and that you get your own trailer doesn't mean that we all have to bow down to you, bitch. No. All right. What about all of the other squashes? A winter squash, even, perhaps?
Spaghetti squash?
A spaghetti squash?
Iconic.
The green one with the yellow bits on it? A white one? The white one that has that looks like a droopy, like a you know when an old man has a penis and it, like, gets bulbous at the base?
Oh, my God.
I don't like the ball sack takes on like more moisture or something.
I mean, I cannot say that I've seen this firsthand.
But you know, the squash, it's like a fat ball at the bottom and then like a skinny bit on top.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Like the squash shape.
Mm-hmm.
The point is, pumpkin is not always the star of the show, and I would like to address it head on. So let's get into it. This is why pumpkins are the worst. First! Pumpkins last like 2 hours, and then they get disgusting inside. You cut into a pumpkin, it's like 1 second, it's this beautiful pale autumn yellow and orange. The next second, it looks like someone left the grandma from Coco in a bathtub for too long.
Oh, God.
I shouldn't have to put a potion on this goddamn pumpkin just so it doesn't shrivel up like a fucking dick in winter. Also, all of pumpkin semen is too chunky. The insides. It's just like, hello, I would like my cum with less pulp, please.
I really used to not like handling pumpkin pulp when I was little.
Oh, do you enjoy it now?
No, I guess not.
I just, every time I've carved a pumpkin, which in my life has been like thrice, I would say, you know, you cut it off. Also, you have to remember to cut it at an angle, of which I never did. Because, you know, you cut the round bit off the top,
mm-hmm.
but if you cut up and down, then when you take off the top and go to put it back on, it just falls right through.
Mm.
So you have to cut at an angle so that it sets in there.
Wow.
Pinterest girls know what I'm talking about. Am I right, fellow moms? fellow Etsy queens? But every time, all 3 times that I've carved a pumpkin, it's just like... Yeah, you cut off the top, and then it's like what I imagine inserting your hand into, like, a cow's anus is like.
Mm, yeah.
And then you pull it out, and you're like, this is absolutely disgusting. Why would anybody do this?
I feel like the pulpy part is the part that kids are supposed to really enjoy from carving a pumpkin. It's like, oh, look at all this stuff, and you, like, touch it and stuff. But I just was like, this is absolutely disgusting.
Yeah.
I will not be by it. Mom, you can do this.
Yeah, I had a famously weak gut when I was a child, and I would gag over absolutely everything.
But you know what's great about carving a pumpkin? It's very easy to become... a trash can for your barf.
True.
It's right there.
I remember one of the first pumpkins that I carved. It was like a small pumpkin. I would say the head of like an 11 or 12 year old.
That's how I measure pumpkins, yes.
And I carved it and it started growing like a white fur inside.
I believe that's mold.
Right. And then I touched it mm-hmm. with my finger and my older cousin, I don't remember how, I was probably like 8 or 9.
Mm-hmm.
And my older cousin told me that I was infected and that I would start growing that white hair.
Yeah.
And I was fully terrified for 48 hours. I was fully convinced that I was going to sprout hairs.
Oh.
Yeah.
And then you went through puberty the next day.
And then, yeah.
Sprouted hairs all over your body.
My pubes are actually snowy white.
Oh, God.
Also, you pull out the inside of a pumpkin, and then everyone's like, oh, the seeds are delicious. Pumpkin seeds are impossible to get open. Impossible! Mission Impossible pumpkin seed. It's all that work, also, and you get one tiny sliver of seed.
I thought that you don't open it, you just roast them in the shell.
And then you eat the whole shell?
Yeah.
What? Producer Melissa is nodding along with Barry.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
You just eat.
You've been making yourself work harder for less.
You're not supposed to eat the shell?
Yeah, when you roast it. You absolutely do.
I've never heard that in my life. I've never
What have
heard
you
that.
Been eating? You also can deshell it and eat those. One time, Alex and I decided to roast pumpkin seeds, but we did it backwards where we got pumpkin seeds that were already deshelled and roasted those, and they were absolutely horrible. We also were very high.
I guess I've been doing it wrong my entire life.
Yeah.
All three times that I've carved a pumpkin, I mean, let's be real, I've never roasted pumpkin seeds ever in my life. I just assumed that you break them open.
No, it's very easy to do.
I think we used to buy pumpkin seeds from the store that were like salted.
Yeah.
We would sit there and open them and eat the inside.
And that's one way to do it. It's just a stupid way.
I guess. Well, blame it on my dad. Next! Carving pumpkins also takes like 7 hours. And you fuck up once and it's like, oh, I guess I just have to start over from the beginning. I guess we're done. Or because eventually people are getting all fancy these days. Now it's not good enough to just carve right into it. Now there are shades. You do it where you like you shave off the orange part to expose the underneath.
Mm-hmm.
And the deeper you shave, the like more light it lets in once you put a light inside. People make like sculptures. No. All right. We're putting a triangle, a smaller triangle, and then some teeth.
Could also be triangles.
Also, if you're one of those Etsy people or the Pinterest people who are like, oh, we're gonna put the insides so that it looks like it's throwing up, you can go fuck yourself. Okay? Oh, it was fun maybe once in 2002. When someone named Mary Beth came up with it for the first time and was like, this is gonna blow the roof off of the pumpkin carving community. And it did. It momentarily did. But now we're past it. Come up with something new. Come up with something fresh. Also, pumpkin is just a terrible nickname that straight men use to describe their girlfriends that they think they own as property. Pumpkin. Oh, pumpkin. And it's an imperative that you don't say the M, you say N. Pumpkin.
Pumpkin.
No. Ugh. Next! I also hate when costumes, like, oh, you're a ghost because you put a sheet on your head and then...
I made that mistake once.
No.
I did the Charlie Brown one. This was like my first year in New York and I was invited to like a Jewish Halloween party, meaning like a Jewish community. I met someone through the Jewish community and they were like, come to my Halloween party. And I was like, why doesn't anybody do the ghost anymore? It's just like a sheet. And I cut a bunch of holes in it like Charlie Brown and I put it on and I looked in the mirror and then I was like, oh, the KKK.
I feel like the costume holds up. You just have to choose a rounded part of the, you know, or you can't have a conical head.
Well, yeah, no. But still, it's just too close, especially
I think you have a very
Halloween
pointy
party.
Head space.
I do?
I think you have a very pointy head shape.
Wow, thank you so much.
Or you have to mix it up a little bit. Be like, oh, I'm Ghost Abraham Lincoln and put like a top hat on.
Oh, that's nice.
And a beard. I just don't like when people are like, oh, I'm a ghost. And then all they do is like cut the jack-o'-lantern face, but in a sheet or something. And it's like, no. Okay, that's a pumpkin face, not a ghost face. You dumb bitch. And finally, what about all of the other fall flavors that have to take a back fucking seat so that Miss Pumpkin could have her day in the spotlight? No. Okay, maple, bourbon, a salted caramel, even? Apple cinnamon? What about all of them? Well, who will speak up for the underdog if not me? Do I enjoy a good pumpkin? Sure. Do I get probably one pumpkin spice every decade? Of course. a latte, I'll do it. An iced one, because I'm a homosexual, but I'll do it. But I need to stand up for all of the unspoken for. Your apple cinnamons, your maple bourbons, your fucking ginger, your chai teas, all of the above. So pumpkin, take a step back and let the rest of us enjoy our moment in the sun. All right, that's it for this week's deep dive. We got Emmy Blotnick in the studio coming right up. My guest complainer today is stand-up comedian Emmy Blotnick. She's written for The Late Show with Stephen Colbert, The President's Show on Comedy Central, and you can see her at the New York Comedy Festival coming up on November 5th. Welcome, Emmy.
Hey, thank you so much.
I'm so excited.
Me too.
So we always start by asking everybody, what is one thing you hate that everybody else loves?
Can I give you options?
Because there are a lot of them. We can talk about all of them, yeah.
Okay, before we started recording, I think we were talking about boats. I don't like boats.
Same, honestly.
Good. Okay, I don't like Halloween.
Okay.
And I don't like any phone past the iPhone 5. those are your choices, and we can pursue whatever avenue
right.
speaks most to you.
Three out of three of those are homophobic things.
Excuse me.
You think having the
fairies?
Latest iPhone?
Okay.
Fairies. I mean, it's, yeah.
I stepped right into that. Okay. All right. Fair enough.
Well, let's start one at a time. Okay. Boats.
Boats.
I mean, I agree with you at least on two out of three. Boats. What size boat are we talking? Are we talking all boats?
I think small boats on calm waters can be romantic.
Sure,
like
sure.
A sunfish on a nice lake can be wonderful. But I remember when I was like 10 years old, I had this phase of being obsessed with whale watching. Uh-huh. Did you go through, like, do you remember when, like, the Olsen twins were like, we're marine biologists, and you're
sure.
like, I want to be that. And so I made my whole family go on a whale watching boat trip, and I was standing downwind from a nauseous woman, and I remember, like, a fleck of her barf landed on me,
no.
And I was like, and my mom was, like, she'd taken all this Dramamine and was basically, like, asleep in her own lap in the belly of the boat, and, like, I think that was the end of the love affair.
Yeah, there is something different between marine biology and whale watching to me. Like, whale watching is the hobby of, like, an 80-year-old woman.
I guess so, yeah. I don't know who else thinks that that's, like, a fun way to spend time. But those waters are choppy.
Yeah. I hadn't really been. I was saying I had a show in Provincetown and then Boston, and I had to take the ferry across the Cape. And that was the first time that I'd taken, like, any type of boat like that. Because my family used to go on vacation in, like, Michigan, where we'd be on this, like, tiny little inland lake.
Right.
And there'd be boats on that.
Yes.
Yeah. But it
and
was
you can, like eat a sandwich and, like,
right.
you know, you're not like, yeah.
There's like, no, like, real waves.
Right. And there isn't, like, an outhouse for a bathroom. And,
right.
Like, you know, it's.
So that was the first time I'd been on a boat, like, on the ocean. And it was, I mean, technically that's the ocean, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Even though it's like a cape. But, like, what is it? Like, that boat is, yeah. It's like, we could
buses.
All die.
Yeah. They're really. They're not glamorous boats at all.
No. There's like a bar. There's a bar on it, but it's also like the bar that inside of a Starbucks that serves alcohol. It's like not an actual bar. Yeah. There's like a level of class seating arrangements that is like not specified, but everybody knows their place a
yeah,
little bit.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, the people who got the booth, they're like the special ones. Anyway. Yeah. Boats, I would agree.
I always just feel like in my, the idea, the concept of a boat is like, oh, what summer fun, the breeze, whatever. But I don't think it gives you a good hair day at
no.
all, not remotely a good hair day. And yeah, mostly I'm a nauseous.
Even small boats.
Perpetually nauseous. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, how are you on flights? Do you get nauseous on flights?
I'm usually high on flights. So
okay.
That helps. I think whatever I like to do these days, I do a travel pillow no matter how long the flight is.
Yeah.
Eye mask and noise canceling headphones and just try to leave my body for it.
Right.
And
right.
I've gotten pretty good at it. I can do like a big, like, have you ever felt self-conscious about like how you nap?
On an airplane or in general?
Yeah, just in general. Like if people see you sleeping, you like,
that is my number one
sleeper?
Reason for not. Well, it's less about how I look napping than how I sound napping that I'm self-conscious about in public places like a plane. Yeah.
Yeah. I used to be too scared. I'm like, I'm so hideous when I sleep that I can't do it here. And now
there
I just don't.
There are children that will see you.
Right. Or like, what if it's, you know, what if the love of your life is going to the bathroom and sees you like drooling and farting in your rest?
No, I always do. I don't know if it's something with like the air pressure in the air or like the angle that you're sleeping at. But I always have that thing on flights where I start to fall asleep and then like violently jerk away.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Because your head's unanchored. That's usually the problem.
And
I feel
so, maybe it's my head starts to tilt, but it's like, yeah. And there are so many times when I've spasmed and the person next to me is startled, physically startled.
Yes.
I
feel like, I sleep like an extra from the Thriller video. I'm like a hideous sleeper and I don't care anymore at all. And it's freeing. It's really freeing.
Are you like, so do you like smoke before you go on a flight or is it more just like popping some Xanax?
I think like an edible, usually a little edible.
Yeah.
You know, and you can like not be too weird.
Right, right. I feel like I've tried it and it just makes me, I'm still uncomfortable.
Yeah.
It's just like I'm more relaxed about how uncomfortable I am, but it doesn't like solve the discomfort.
Yes, there is no solving the discomfort, but having lots of money. Did you see, there's a video of Naomi Campbell's airplane routine.
I love that video.
Doesn't it make you feel so normal to see how much stuff she does? Like all the OCD, things.
Right. So there's this, if people haven't seen
it. Oh, right, right. There are other people. I always forget when we're in a small room. Yes, please. Yeah. Tell the people.
It's like a 10-minute video of Naomi Campbell getting on her first class seat and the wipe down that she does of her... every surface of that first class seat. She puts on gloves, a full-blown mask, and then, like, does an entire, like, washing routine.
Yes. And she has, like, two freezer bags full of, like, little masks and little products and things. She brings her own seat cover?
Right.
Oh.
I just think how is her immune system at not just, like, one gentle sneeze away from falling completely apart?
I
feel like if a child next to her coughs, she'll die.
But see, the thing is, there are no children next to Naomi Campbell. If you're buying your baby a first class seat, I guess. But she's...
I get so mad when I see children in first class. Mm-hmm. I'm like, you don't... Every seat for you is a first class seat.
Yes.
Because you're small.
It's true. And it's like, you don't have a job. Like, you're not... you don't feel the fatigue. Like, you're not sitting at a desk every day.
Right, right. Okay, the second thing you said was Halloween.
Halloween, yeah.
Yeah. What is it for you about Halloween?
I don't like being scared. I'm like naturally very on edge and neurotic and vigilant, and I don't like empowering hooligans for a day. Like, I don't like the concept of like emboldening like rowdy teens to like throw things and I don't like horror movies. I don't even like when you walk into CVS this time of year and there's like a skeleton that screams when you walk by it. I hate all this shit so much.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like there was a specific time when I was a child where it became a thing when we were like trick-or-treating for people to dress up and pretend to be part of the decorations and then jump out and scare you. Like,
that
there
should be illegal. That should be absolutely outlawed. That's so
well, I don't know if it happens anymore because now it's like, if you scare a child too much, like, you're getting sued. but yeah.
It's true.
Did you like go trick or treating and do all that Halloween jazz?
As a kid, yeah. But it was like we had chaperones and we were escorted and we were in very innocent costumes. You know, we were like ponies and Ninja Turtles and gentle things. But I feel like it might be in New York because adults embrace it more here than where I grew up. But like if you get on the subway on Halloween night, someone's going to fuck with you. And I will be so upset every time. And it's just, it's...
I know. I we're recording this before Halloween, but I think this year might be the first year in a like handful of years that I'm venturing out of my apartment on Halloween, which is, we'll see how it goes.
What are you doing?
I'm just going to go. I'm going to be the person on the train who scares everybody else.
Are you doing a scary costume? Or?
No, I don't. I also have these visceral memories from childhood of my mom. I remember when I was very little, tried putting like Halloween makeup on me, as I think she wanted me to be like Frankenstein. And she put this like green makeup, and there's something about that. I don't know if it's like stage makeup or, but it smells so bad. It smells like chalky, crayon, melty grossness. And I would gag, and there would be like gag tears in all of my Halloween makeup.
Your mom would be like, that's perfect. Like method. Yeah. I feel like, yeah, that stuff's not good for your pores.
No.
It's from like a party city. We're in an era of incredible skincare. And
yeah.
There's no point rubbing like, you know, dyed beeswax into your face.
No.
But
yeah. But it's also, you know, I feel like the gay community is very, it's like, if you're not exposing your literal anus on Instagram in your costume, you're secluded. And yeah. That's how I feel. So I'm like, all right, I guess we'll see my anus.
You do what you gotta do. I just feel like it's actually that my two of my friends who, the ones who I know who do Halloween the best are, they are gay men, of course.
Yeah. There's,
my friend Andrew had a costume that I have seen so many, I don't know if they're ripping him off or if it's like parallel thinking or whatever, but it's, if you take one of those clear umbrellas and tie like iridescent tassels to it,
right,
and then wear your anus exposing briefs or whatever you want, and then you're like a beautiful jellyfish.
Right.
And I love that costume. That costume I love. If we could do like nice, like a soothing Halloween,
sure,
and then do a scary one on another night. The scary one should be called The Purge, and the soothing one should be like dress up party.
Yeah. Yeah. I do. I agree. I feel like we need to be warned, those of us who don't want to partake in scary Halloween, so that we can stay inside.
Right. If you are, if you're going to dress up as like a person with no skin, I don't want to see you.
And then your third thing, as I have my iPhone 11 on the table.
Is it an 11? Is that real? We are at 11? You could fool
it
me.
It is iPhone 11.
Holy
yeah.
Shit.
It has three unnecessary cameras.
Oh my God. It looks like a boat. It's got little, it has like a telescope.
I love that you have never even seen this phone before.
I'm trying.
That's how much you don't like phones after the iPhone.
This is the 5. The 5 is about the size of a child's palm.
Right.
And it used to be huge.
It used
to be so large to us.
I'm so impressed when I see people who have an older iPhone that still works.
Yeah, I'm shocked it still works. And it is, the battery drains really fast and
yeah,
it's buggy. But the iPhone 11, you have to have a separate backpack for, because it doesn't fit in any women's pants pockets. And I think
that
it's
an
utterly sexist invention.
I am a large gentleman, and so I think it is proportional to me. It feels that way.
Yeah, and you probably get more done than I do, and your pictures are clearer, and you enjoy life more as a result. But
I do go back and forth, though, because I am a genuinely, like, an iPhone addict.
Me too.
And it's not good, and I can, like, feel how not good it is for my brain.
Yes.
When I, like, know that I should be paying attention to something, but I'm looking at my phone.
Have you ever looked at your like screen time report thing when it gives you like your averages?
They send it to me unprovoked. It's just like,
how rude.
Yeah. It's just, yeah, nobody needs that. It's
no,
like your mom texting you and being like, you're fuck you, you're using your phone too much.
I really feel like just about everything in my phone is an unflattering reflection of me, and I look at it constantly. So of course I hate myself and everyone and everything.
Right,
but
right.
It's like, yeah, the thing that spooked me the most in the screen time report was they keep track of how many times you pick up your phone,
yeah,
even just to check like the time and stuff. And mine was well over 100 in a day. And I'm like,
yeah,
Jesus, like sit in another room, go do something.
There was a while where I was able to like leave my phone in one place and, yeah, just kind of like do my thing, come back to it when I needed to kind of like check in. And I think that lasted like a couple weeks tops.
Yeah.
So we've only addressed the one question. So that's great.
Oh, the one question of what do I hate? Yeah. I hate things colorfully and extensively.
Same. So. That is the point of this podcast. I didn't know you went to Northwestern.
Did you also?
I did,
oh,
yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Cool.
I was 2012.
Oh, a wee boy. No, I'm 2 years older than you, I guess.
Okay, so we were there at the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you do, like, the comedy things there?
I didn't really when I was there. I mean, I was in the journalism school, and I thought that was my path at the time.
I feel like you're on a somewhat adjacent path.
I have done so many mental gymnastics to justify the loans that I'm still paying off.
Yeah.
I was. So you did film?
I was
in legal studies.
So those were my minors. This was weird. I did an interview with, like, it was like an offshoot of the Washington Post a while ago, and
right.
I told him my minors, and then I think the conversation went somewhere else, and I didn't tell him my major. But I guess it doesn't. No one cares. It doesn't.
Until I bring
no
it up
cares.
After having
but
read
no,
it.
But no, now I have to correct the record. I have to do, journalism degree holder, what's it called? A correction.
Fact check, yeah.
A correction.
Correction, yeah,
issuing
yeah.
Issuing a correction. My major was communication studies.
Okay.
Which is not... I think I was probably ramping up to say that I don't believe it should be a major. And I think we got sidetracked. But
yeah,
it was a really confusing. I truly don't know what any of my classes were. I don't know what we learned. I don't know what it's for.
No. Does anybody look back on their college years and be like, I remember learning that thing?
I don't. I imagine that other people with more serious majors do. I think that's one of my...
Like, I guess so.
I assume that, like, if you were a philosophy major, that you learned something, you read philosophy, you know philosophy. But maybe those people all skate through, too.
No. I mean, I don't know how many philosophy majors are just out there thriving in the world.
That's true.
They could be hidden amongst us. You know, I don't know how many of them are openly admitting to being philosophy majors. Yeah, I don't know. I look back and think, like, I guess journalism, at least, was a little more like trade school in that we were kind of like learning very specific practices.
Yes.
That felt, you know, you could take this and go do it if you're going to do journalism. But yeah, everything else that I took was like, I don't remember shit about that political science class that I took.
I think for me, looking back on it, the science requirement is the thing that now seems the most insane.
Because
I took two classes where one of them was all about soil. And we had to memorize 17, or it was like something between 10 and 20 types of soil by their three-letter abbreviations. And I still have the chart in my phone because
your phone is 20 years old.
Yes, that's fair. But I also, like, I was looking at it the other day because I ran into the person whose homework I used to cheat off of for that class.
Sure.
And I was like, you remember the fucking soil class? Like, what was that? That cost so much money. And
yeah, it is upsetting.
I have no feelings about soil.
When you do the math and you figure like, ugh, I missed that class. That was like $1,000 just for that one session. So yeah, but you grew up in Boston,
mm-hmm.
And then obviously came to Chicago for school. And then did you stay in Chicago or did you go back east?
I moved to New York right after college.
Yeah.
And I moved to LA for like 3 years in the middle and then came back here. So uh-huh. I like it here.
Right,
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
I did like, there was another interview I was reading where you were saying how like, as you imagine that your family would have been much more in their kind of element in New York than in Boston.
Yeah, they're like, my mom is a Hungarian immigrant and she's like, she prides herself on having no filter, which just means she's like rude and mean. And so that blends in much better in New York than in Boston. I feel like people are rude and mean in Boston for sure. I think her type of unfiltered is like, at its best, like Larry David like. And
right.
That's, you know, it just flies better when you're in the company of like millions of Jews.
Right, right. Yeah, I was thinking as you were saying that, I'm like, yeah, everybody in Boston is similarly, I think, abrasive like New York. What's the major difference? Oh, they're all Catholic.
Yeah, it's a different, it's just a different like shade of rude.
But right,
it's
right.
More like drinking oriented. Like you see the way Boston celebrates, like when we win sports things, the way people express happiness is like lighting cars on fire.
Right,
so, and,
right.
Like, throwing each other in front of buses. So
I know.
It's not That's, like...
Anytime, I mean, I truly do not follow any sporting event, but whenever I open Twitter and there are like vehicles bursting into flames,
yeah.
I'm like, all right, either like the civil war has deepened in Syria or some team in Boston won.
Yes. It's. I think Philly probably comes close in this regard as
yeah.
well. Because
yeah.
There's probably once a year a story of someone ate horse poop in Philadelphia after a sports game.
I think I remember that, yeah.
You know, it's, yeah. But no. Boston is, I feel like the, there's, there are the, like the rowdy, there's like a Catholic-y, Irish-y segment. And then there's also a like more repressed,
right.
Like people who want to seem like nice society people.
Right.
And we especially don't blend in with those.
Yeah. Because it's also, there's so many colleges there, although it's like, you know, Harvard and everything. So everybody's a little stuffy in the college crowd.
Right. But I grew up in Cambridge, so I was more in the stuffy neck of the woods.
Right.
If I had grown up in like South Boston, I might be a cooler person.
Before we get into all of, you know, we have some a segment we call Elaborate, where we have you elaborate on some of the things that you said you've hated on Twitter.
Oh, my.
I do want to get to that, but I want to ask about, so you're kind of about to go on like a tour, right, this fall?
I've kind of been touring
yeah.
since, it's been since like February or March this year. Has been a lot of being on the road and going places.
Right.
Yeah.
Because your album came out... Was it was this year, right?
Yeah.
Your album, remind me the name of it.
It's called Party Nights, which I realize is not a memorable name. But I, yeah, if I could do it again, I'd call it, it's, you know, Fart Barf Evenings or something more. It's got to stick more than that. But oh, well, Party Nights. It's a fun album.
Yeah. I mean, I love your style and yeah, I mean, I'll just gush and say that I love your comedy.
Hey, thank you.
I do. How do you feel about, because I feel this too, about like someone describes you as awkward, which is a thing that if you, yeah, it's like a weird backhanded compliment a little bit.
It's one of the things, yeah, I did the Edinburgh Festival in August this year and there are lots of reviewers who come and write about you. And when you see the way other people describe you, I had to stop reading them because when you see the words other people choose for you, it's like looking at your phone and seeing that you've been through five pairs of AirPods. And you're
right.
Like, is this all I, like, yeah. So awkward is always in there. And it's just like, I just have to, I don't know. I don't know what to do about it.
I love it. I mean, I feel like that when people use that word to describe a comedian, sometimes, like, I think any time that I'd read it, it was always said in, like, a lovingly praising way, I felt.
Right. The next yeah. word has to be something nice or else it is, like, yeah, someone hates me.
But there is always that moment, yeah, whenever you read any type of comedy review, where you're like, what? What is this person doing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of them... In Edinburgh, one of the ones that I wish I hadn't read called me passionless. And that one weirdly got under my skin a little bit. And I was like, I don't owe this man passion. You know, like this is, I think it is a gendered word
yeah,
to use
yeah.
about a person. Like you don't ever say a man is
passionless.
Passionate either? I don't know.
Right,
maybe you
exactly.
do. But passionless. I talked about eating that reviewer's eyes with a knife and fork. I'm like, so you can't say I'm not passionate. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I've never been to the Edinburgh Festival, but it seems like it's so grueling. Because
yeah.
you're doing like so many shows over the course of a few weeks.
It's,
and then also, yeah, it's a lot of like industry people who are there to like judge you.
Right. Yes. The weird thing is that like during it, it was so it's 27 days and you get one day off. And during it, I had lots of days where I was like, why did I do this? And as soon as it ended, I was like, I'm doing it again. I think I'm going to try to go back next year because it's weirdly, it's like getting bucked off a mechanical bull.
Yeah.
Where you're like, I got to get back on and figure it out.
Right,
and
right.
So yeah, I weirdly really loved it, even though it is hard.
I can see that. I mean, it does seem like, yeah, it's like a beast that you want to like wrangle.
Yeah.
So elaborate. We have some tweets of yours where you've expressed your dislike of stuff.
This is going to be interesting because I haven't tweeted jokes in a really long time. So
these are some old tweets.
You got to say the date with them just because these might be awful.
Okay, this is from 2012.
7 years ago.
Going far back. The worst part of being late is that you shouldn't be holding an iced coffee.
Oh, I totally stand by this.
Yeah,
I
that
actually
holds
do.
Up.
I'm glad. Yeah. I think it was from it like yeah, I used to you know how this all goes.
Right, right.
But yeah.
There was one post from a Tumblr I remember reading and really loving that was about that like there's something very dominating about walking confidently late into a meeting with an iced coffee.
Yeah.
Because everyone can see, like, that is fresh.
Right. You stopped. You stopped right. for a beverage that, like,
yeah.
looks. I feel like, so I think iced coffee is like a necessity. I feel like nothing happens in my day unless there is one. But I understand also that it looks leisurely.
Right.
Like, it's something about the lid and the straw and there's like the sort of like jangliness of yeah. an iced coffee
oh,
that
yeah.
makes it look really frivolous.
We had some subtle jangles in the background here as I try to
it's an alpha move.
Sit.
You want to show me that you run this podcast and you know what? I believe you.
It is. I also like, I do like the clear cup because I think it conveys what is inside in a and there is a hierarchy of coffees. Like I drink black iced coffee, which is the dominant coffee.
If you have to be late with an iced coffee, black is the best.
Right.
I know by the time you are holding one and are late, that's already an infraction, but black at least is businesslike.
Right.
Whereas if you're having some milky sweet thing that's got lots of letters yeah. scribbled on the side, like you're full of shit, you ordered a seasonal yeah. iced coffee. And
oh yeah. yeah. If you walk in late somewhere with something that has whipped cream on it.
Oh my God.
You might as well not show up.
Yeah, just pack your things.
Although that is my next move, I think, is to do that. I just love this tweet, also from 2015. I just got a foot massage from someone wearing rubber gloves, and now I get why dudes hate condoms.
I stand by this one, too. I do.
What type of place did you go to that gave foot massage wearing rubber gloves?
I remember this weirdly, even though it's been years. I got a pedicure in like kind of a cheap strip mall situation.
Right.
And they wore rubber gloves for like sanitary reasons.
Right.
But the foot massaging portion of the pedicure was just like, what is happening? Like it was like squeak, like, no.
I mean, the analogy really holds up in that it's good that they were wearing them, it sounds like.
Yes, I feel like pedicurists should make tons of money. Like it's yeah. an insane job to clean the filth off of strangers' feet. And like if I were doing it, I'd wear a glove and a surgical mask and all that stuff. But it doesn't feel good.
Yeah. There is, to me, manicures and pedicures are still that type of thing where I'm like, I feel guilty getting them. I feel like the power dynamics are just like, I don't like it. Even though there is an exchange of money happening, I don't, yeah, it's just weird to me.
There's I understand something, that.
There's something very, yeah, there's very like primal about the making someone clean your feet. This I love because this is like a time capsule, 2015. Is Shut Up and Dance the worst song of the year? The answer is yes.
Oh, I hate that song. I hate that song so much. It's one of the only ones. Okay, when you take like taxis or Ubers or whatever, how frequently do you ask about the radio? Like, can you turn this up or down? Can we change it? Can you turn it
almost
off?
Almost never.
Me too. I almost fear asking about
yeah.
it. But when that song is playing, I will ask them to turn the radio off. I prefer silence and like mouth noises over.
Okay. Who sings Shut Up and Dance?
It's a band called Walk the Moon. And I know somebody who used to be in the band. So I used to hesitate about saying this, but I think
now
they are utter garbage. I loathe their music. Their sensibilities just rankle me. I turn to curds when I hear them.
I can't believe that song is only from 2015.
It feels like stock audio to me. It feels like it should be from a free music library, and it's like it should be like an Alamo commercial. And never again.
It is weird to me because it does. It does feel like a stock music song.
It's it's just so it's so cloying. It's all the worst. It's so derivative. It's so it's everything you don't want. And I love the radio. I love everything on the radio.
How often are you listening to the actual radio?
I listen to like top 40 frequently. Yeah, I feel like that's where I live. But Shut Up and Dance is so bad. Okay.
And on that note, before we let you go, where can people find you and your work?
I'm going to the Claire's jewelry store in the Fulton Mall after this.
So you'll be there doing just some signings.
They're doing, if you buy three... They're not even paying me for this. If you buy three pairs of earrings, you get three more for free. And you can be in there calculating the value for hours. I'm on Twitter. I don't really post that many funny things anymore because I'm mostly saying them out loud. So
yeah,
go. If you follow the Twitter, you'll see where shows are and then you can hear the things.
Yeah. I love it.
Okay.
All right, we're almost there. We're almost at the end of the show. But first, our chasers. Chasers are all the good stuff that helps the bad stuff go down easier, starting with the TV shows we've been watching this week. Barry, what you been watching?
Well, mostly I've been on airplanes recently, so I've been watching a lot of movies. So I'm going to talk about that real quick, which is mostly You've Got Mail.
Okay.
I saw You've Got Mail for the first time.
Sure.
Did you know there's a dog in it? Mm-hmm. It's important to the story. That was fantastic.
Yeah, I haven't seen it in a little while. But
it was so good. Meg Ryan's clothes are amazing. I laughed. I cried. I loved it all. It was so good. But yeah, and then TV-wise, I watched the first episode of Watchmen.
Uh-huh, me too.
Yeah, did you read the graphic novel?
I did.
I hadn't read it, so I was definitely confused. But I'm like reading it while watching it, and it's so good.
Well, if you haven't seen it, I remember reading the graphic novel when I was younger, and the show is completely different.
It's a continuation of the world.
Right, right. Yeah. So it's like, because I was probably more confused having read it, because I was like, what the fuck is happening?
Yeah, you were expecting like a straight up adaptation, but this is more of like what Damon Lindelof, the creator, co-creator, has been calling a remix.
Right, yeah.
Because it's like what would happen in that world in 2019.
Right.
But Regina King is so good. She's so good in it. And the music is great. And I'm super excited for that show and to keep watching it.
Yeah.
On HBO. Yeah. So Watchmen and You've Got Mail. Two very similar styles. What about you? What are you watching?
I finished Succession since the last time I said I was watching it.
Oh, nice. Should I watch it?
I liked it a lot.
Okay.
Once I like sat down and gave it a chance. I mean, it is, someone described it as white empire.
Okay.
I mean, it is. It's like, you know, a media mogul is getting old and it's like which of his children are going to take over. And they're all sort of fighting and they're all kind of like a little. It is the first show in a while where it's like it's not even trying to get you to like the characters. They are just horrible people, but somehow you're like, I like them, or at least some of them. Anyway, it's good. I recommend it. I have been watching, there is a Food Network show called Halloween Baking Wars or Halloween Baking Championship.
Okay.
That it is fun to watch an American baking show, which is just like, here's a gun and you have to like shoot this cake. Because the British Bake Off is so like gentle and everybody is so calm. And this one is like, you have 20 minutes to fucking devastate these ingredients into something edible. It is gross also when they try to make stuff look like gross.
Uh-huh.
Even though I'm sure it tastes good, it's like I don't particularly want to eat a cake that looks like a pile of bloody eyeballs.
No, no.
But anyway, I enjoy watching it. So I've been watching that. I've been watching a lot of Chopped also, even though it makes me too hungry. And Succession.
Wonderful.
And Watchmen.
Wonderful.
What is your non-TV chaser?
My non-TV chaser was that I went to Europe.
Yeah.
For vacation, which is Alex's, my boyfriend's and my like first abroad travel experience together. And it was super fun. We went to London and Paris and Geneva, Switzerland, because we had friends there. We have friends there. And then back to London. And I fucking love London. Wow. What a great place.
Was that your first time?
Yeah. I've only been to Europe for Holocaust reasons.
Right.
I've only been to Poland with like a Jewish group in high school to like visit camps. And then I went to Germany with my grandfather, who is a survivor, to go to a camp that he was in.
Right.
So this was my first time in Europe, not with like the memory of the Holocaust being the main purpose of going. So it was great. It was fun. It was lively. It was a really, really great time. So that is by far my biggest chaser. So,
nice.
What's your chaser?
My chaser is some few music moments.
Ooh-hoo-hoo.
Well, one, while you were off gallivanting in Europe, I saw Kacey Musgraves without
Yay!
You.
Oh, no.
But I do. I finally saw Kacey. I did see Kacey when I saw Harry Styles because she opened
right.
for him.
And you were like, who's Kacey Musgraves? I don't need to see her. And I was like, I'm really excited.
No, I liked
her
music.
Years ago. It was years ago.
I mean, yeah, it was 2 years ago at this point. Yeah, I've seen Kacey Musgraves before because she was opening for Harry Styles when we saw him, and I didn't like really know her then.
Right.
I liked, I liked what I heard, but I didn't, I wasn't like fully invested in the Kacey experience. So this was the first like full-blown concert of hers that I saw, and it was fun. It was a weird mix in the crowd. I didn't actually know what to expect because I feel like I'm used to going to see artists where it's like we're all going to be teenage girls
mm-hmm.
together. And it was like a weird mix of like country, like old country fans.
Yeah.
And like young people.
Yeah.
Oh, and the greatest moment was that she does a cover of I Will Survive. And
really?
She brought out Gloria Gaynor.
Oh,
who's saying I Will Survive. I will admit, being a horrible gay, that for a hot second I was like, who is this? Because I couldn't remember who sang I Will Survive. I thought for a second it was Donna Summer, but then I remember, oh yeah, it's Gloria Gaynor.
Amazing.
It was like it was gay pandemonium.
Wow.
In that moment. But also, I didn't get a chance to say last week because we recorded before the song actually came out, but Harry Styles came back with a single for his upcoming second album,
Ooh.
Lights Up, which is already my favorite Harry Styles song. And yeah, I'm not just saying that, okay? I mean it. I actually like genuinely love it.
That's great.
Yeah.
I think I was going to say I was in Europe, so it wasn't on my radar, even though technically he's from England. But I haven't listened to it yet. I need
okay.
to.
Well, you're canceled.
Okay.
Because it's been out for like 2 weeks.
What?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
It feels weird to then end on this one, but I also, The Politician, the Netflix show
mm-hmm.
that Ben Platt is in, there are these few, like, strange musical numbers that they have in there for some reason, which are great. It's a little bit weird to have them in the middle of the show,
uh-huh.
but they release them on Spotify as singles, and yeah, he covers a Billy Joel song, Vienna, and I love that cover so much. I've listened to it all morning to the point where like I'll probably hate it by tomorrow. So those are mine, and it's Halloween weekend.
Yeah, it is.
And I think I'm dressing up for the first time. Well, I am dressing up for the first time in
what are you gonna
years.
Be
and it may have to do with Kacey Musgraves. You'll have to look at my Instagram to find out.
Wow, such a tease.
I know, to see my asshole.
No,
because it's gay Halloween and I have to show my sphincter. Anyway, that's it for this week's Unhappy Hour. Thank you for listening. You can head to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever you get podcasts. Hit that subscribe button, then rate us and review us, but only if it's nice. I don't want to hear your shit. Unhappy Hour is a production of Pineapple Street Media. It's produced by Barry Finkel, Melissa Slaughter, and me, Matt Belisai. Special thanks to Jenna Weiss-Berman and Max Linsky. Our music is by Hansdale Sue. You can bother Barry at Finkelberry Pie. You can worship me at Matt Bellisai. And you can follow Unhappy Hour Pod on Twitter for all the latest podcast buzz. And that's it. That's everything. Thank you for listening. See you next week. Bye-bye. You can have your space, cowboy. I don't want to pass you out. Nailed it.
When we were in London, we stayed right by the London Bridge, and every single day I just went, how come every time you come around my London Bridge? And Alex was really ready to murder me.